try and make the best of it.
Yeah. So I'll jump in because I have so much fun. This last week was really awesome. So on Thursday, I was praying for Michael and a couple other people, once I develop a prayer in me, then I text it to him, I just kind of send it on his way versus an email. I just text it. And I did that for Michael. I did that for someone else. And then I'm thinking, well, who the heck is praying for me? So I had my phone. I started texting all this good stuff toward me. As soon as you hit send, it pops up. And I did it again, pops up. And I mean, these were good stuff. I was like, boy, I'm on it. But I did something, and it was the very last text. And man, it was. Now I'm gonna cry. It wiped me out. I couldn't get out of bed till noon. I missed work. I played hooky. But man, I was so surprised that my own text to myself in prayer over me, it still wrecks me. I can't even talk about it.
Awesome.
But wow, the power that we have to speak over our own lives, I don't think was as evident as it was on Thursday.
Awesome.
And so what, so I guess I'm encouraging people to do a similar thing to themselves, because I think that we communicate with God, but are we really, like, it's easier for me to speak over Michael and lift him into heaven and just surround him with all the things that come to mind. But it's different for myself to stand apart and to see the things that I need for myself. And somehow the text was able to break that barrier, so I could kind of set myself aside and speak on God's behalf toward me. Whoa, that was like just, I stepped into that one.
Awesome.
Yeah, because I could not get out of bed till noon. It was impressive.
All right. Well, think about taking that another step. I was talking to one of the guys in the other Washington group last week, 2 weeks ago, and he actually was talking about if we can engage the timeline. And we prayed in the past for strength or help in something we were doing, that actually we could go back and answer our own prayer from now. So not only can you pray over yourself now, but you could pray
Amen.
your past. And he actually quoted a remembrance in 1985 that he was speaking in this meeting or whatever, and he really felt as he stepped into heaven now that he could actually speak back and encourage himself then what he was doing. Of course, well, there's no real reason why we shouldn't if we can access what
Exactly.
was, and we can actually encourage ourselves even in the past. Now, we would have always done that because actually we're operating now in light of into that past that hasn't happened yet from an eternal, but it's happened in our timeline, but it's not when we're stepped into a eternal place. So I thought that was really interesting. So I wonder how many times that when I cried out for help, that either God sent someone else to answer my prayer, or send me, or get me to pray and
Wow.
speak into it and confess into that situation the strength of God or whatever. I
Well,
thought
it
that's an
makes so
interesting
much
thought.
sense
Yes, yes.
that is so possible. Yeah, no limits on that timeline.
Well, it is, because I mean, isn't there a scripture about encouraging yourself in the Lord? Well, hey, that's a good way of encouraging ourselves. Doesn't have to be just now. It's
Wow.
interesting, though, isn't it? So.
Oh man, you're really stirring some stuff up. Yeah.
Well, it sort of expands the possibilities of God using us to serve his purposes. You know, and, you know, we've talked before about different occasions where people have engaged in time and God's used them in different ways, you know, to facilitate something because we're available. Once we've learned how to step into the realms of heaven, into, you know, okay, there may be eternal things where everything is now, we may be able to step in a place where we can access the timeline because it operates in a different dimensional way. It all opens up the possibilities for our availability for God to use us to answer those prayers that people are praying whenever. It's all to him now. It just, in our time, it isn't. But actually, it is when we step in there because we have access. So, you know, it certainly makes the possibilities of God's, us serving the purpose of God, wider in their expanse. So, interesting. So, yeah.
Another thing, when I was driving to Yakima yesterday, that it was really neat to see that prior to my growth, that I was really stuck in that level of demonic warfare, you know, fighting and praying, and it was kind of like, just, it was such a place to pass through. But now at being stationed in heaven and praying, there's, it's like effortless. But then this morning, it's like God really opened my eyes to really pray against certain things that I saw, but it was still, there were some demonic things that are going on, but it's not the fight that I used to have. It was just basically speaking, just like Jesus said, rise, stand up, you know, just like just simple things with confidence to know that you were breaking through, pulling things out, and I guess it was just an observance of how far I've come, and I want to thank you for that, because, you know, a huge part of that is just simple little things, seeds that you've sown with the, just the experience that you've had, that is, it's growing, Mike. You're doing it. Yeah. So thank you.
Okay, you're very welcome. I mean, I think that whole understanding of how we bring government and how we, you know, assign angels to do a lot of that work rather than what, you know, I mean, I've been there, I've been, you know, involved in seeing people, you know, trying to clear the atmosphere and praying against this and praying against that. Actually, we don't need to pray against, we just have to be ruling over, but then assign the angels to their part, make the decrees and the declarations, but also begin to do the court cases that removes the legal rights that the enemy has. And all these things go together into a whole different judicial protocol, whereas people were screaming into the atmosphere to bind this and bind that, we now can actually go to the courts and we can get the authorizations that enable us to decree and send the angels to administer into those realms and clear those realms, whether they're areas or regions or different levels of rulership, because we have to then see the culture change on the earth as a result of that. You know, because if the culture doesn't change as a result of what we do, then actually that will just start the circle up again, because that will empower the enemy in the atmosphere to take a position, and then that, of course, you know, operates in the realm of the kingdom of God, and we have to then try and break the cycle that functions and operates there. So ultimately we have to see a change. Now I think there are things afoot, if you like, in the realm of heaven that is going to open up opportunities to engage in changing culture and changing the affairs of the nations and being able to administer things differently once we have access to some further revelation, which I think God is beginning to unveil. But certainly, you know, this this is a totally different way of engaging. And, you know, so as long as we're seated above in authority, then we can administer and begin to engage with those things. And I think, you know, there's protocol and there's different things, but we're now in a position of being able to learn how to do those things from that place, whereas before we weren't, you know. But it was a stepping stone, just realizing that there were all those things in the heavens and those things in opposition was the first step. You know, if we didn't know they were there, we would have never realized we needed to govern and rule above them. But, you know, but it's realizing that there are other things in place that we didn't realize then in the realm of the kingdom that were seeking to block our authority in the mountains there, as well as those different things in the atmosphere of the earth, which we were aware of, just aware that there's more to it than that. You know, and I certainly think the court protocol and understanding how to get legislative verdicts on our behalf is important, because then we can stand in identification. You know, I mean, you know, there's a whole load of stuff about identificational repentance, and, you know, I went to certain countries in Africa and Brazil, and I did some of that to the best of my knowledge, and I think God honors that. Now we just realize that we can stand actually in the court where the accusations are brought, and we can deal with those accusations by standing in that place and therefore getting the verdict, which then gives us the authorization and the judgment released on our behalf to see those powers broken, and give us the authorization to then go and administrate. Well, you know, I mean, I had no idea about any of that stuff a few years ago, so, you know, we are learning, we're growing, and, you know, there's going to be more that we discover as we go forward. So, yeah, it's good.
Another neat thing is that what you're saying, I feel some people have given me permission to pray over them and to partner with them and be a prayer partner, and what a difference that permission is versus someone who's completely in left field and you're praying over them, and because they are not wanting cover or anything, but but I'm going after you anyway. But there sure is a difference when someone gives you permission to step in the courts on their behalf, and wow, it's a beautiful orchestration that God has in place. It's amazing.
Yeah, it all works together, and, you know, it all operates according to a kingdom protocol structure of things, which we begin, you know, to learn how to operate in. You know, and even for those people who don't give us permission, there are things we can learn how to do to help remove the veils and the blindness off their eyes so that they will begin to open up. But of course, you know, people have free will. We can only do so much in preparing the way. They still have to choose. You know, people still have to choose who they're going to follow and what pathway they're going to take. But we can certainly do plenty of things that will help them to see, you know, and then they're without excuse in one sense once they have seen, even if they choose not to. But our desire, obviously, is that they choose to embrace their destiny in God and follow Him and begin to outwork His purposes and whatever. But, you know, certainly there's a few things that I've learned how to do that have facilitated that. Forgiveness was one of the biggest things. You know, in John, I think, is it John 20, where it talks about that we can forgive sins. I know that's been obviously taken and sort of twisted somewhat in terms of the priesthood and, you know, that type of thing. But the reality is Jesus did say it. So He meant it. And I believe He meant it in the context of, if sin gives the enemy power and we forgive sins, then it removes the enemy's power. And if you do that, I mean, I learned how to do this many years ago, but if you do that when someone is asleep, and you forgive their sins, which causes their blindness, then the Holy Spirit and angels can go and visit them in dreams. while they're asleep before they sin again. And therefore, sometimes people wake up having had a dream or an encounter because we open the veil for the Spirit to go in by doing what we're supposed to do, is forgiving people's sins. Now, it doesn't forgive their sin in terms of salvation, but it removes the power the enemy has to bring the veil of deception over their eyes, which is only through sin. So, you know, what people become slaves to sin, but that gives them the enemy rights. So if we release forgiveness, then that can open people's hearts to receive in those times. You have to be consistent with it and work at it, I think, quite a lot. But it does. I think that is another tool, another key of the kingdom that we have, to be able to see the truth impart people into people's lives, and so that they see the light effectively.
Thank you.
Okay. Awesome. Okay. Has anyone else got something they want to ask, share?
What Tana was saying there, were as kings and priests, we forgive the operations of sin. In regards to the cities of refuge, being here in this area, I know the Lord's had me for some time dealing with a lot of past occasions, particularly in the land, things that have happened and gone on that brought defilement, bloodshed, broken covenant. There's like four things that kind of bring defilement, and he's been having me work before I even got here. He started showing me a lot of past occasions, and that was the way that he had me begin going in and dealing with those things. And I've been wondering if that kind of the protocol for all of the cities of refuge, that ultimately we deal with all of the past occasions that gave the enemy legal ground there on the land and in the region of the city of refuge, and so that it would be wholly consecrated unto the Lord.
I think that is going to be, we're going to reclaim the land, and therefore you have to deal with the legal rights. I mean, the enemy is a legalist. He operates on legal rights. If we're going to claim the territory and take it back and operate in kingdom authority and see it as an embassy of heaven on earth, we must deal with those things. And, you know, whether you use different things, like there are different ways of doing it, but ultimately, you know, you can lie bust places, you can get revelation of the things that are causing those places to be stuck. You can do a court procedure and get the accuser to reveal his rights of accusation against a town or a city, or the things that cry out from the ground, that give the legal rights to create culture or you know, particular spiritual dynamics that operate. If we're going to have a city of refuge, we have to be operating under the laws of heaven. We can't have any access. And it's like Jesus said, you know, the enemy's got nothing in me. Well, we must clear whatever the enemy has in a region or a town or city, whatever it might be, so that the enemy has nothing in it. Because then we bring the government of God, and those people who are living in that area live under the blessing and protection, because they're there. When they begin to choose to come because they see us operating in authority and power and demonstrating what it is to be under the government of heaven, they will stream to that level of that authority, wanting to know how and why. And people will come from outside of those areas looking for refuge, because we have the answers to whatever question. You know, and I think that's what is going to take place. You know, the mountain of the house of the Lord will be raised up, and all the other things will stream to it. The nations will stream to it. People will stream to it, saying, teach us. How can you live like this when everything's going on around you like that? So we have to be able to function differently. And I think understanding the judicial protocol of heaven, how to manifest heaven on earth, how to live under the laws of the supernatural kingdom while we're on earth, living in health, wholeness, you know, all those things, protection, provision, being able to operate in the creative power of God. I mean, I think Jesus showed a lot of what those things would entail while he was here. Most people have just sort of, oh, well, that was Jesus. Well, actually, it was Jesus as a man demonstrating what a man under the power and inspiration of the protocols of heaven can do. And he calls us to be joint heirs with him. So, you know, we will be able to learn how to move things, how to move through things, how to multiply things, how to produce things, how to operate and suspend the physical, natural laws, you could say, using higher spiritual laws to effectively change things. Walk on water, you know, disappear, engage, all those things. You know, Jesus stilled the storm, you know, rebuked what was behind it, because he was operating in those realms and was able to manifest the kingdom in that way. So I think there's a whole host, and of course all the greater works that are beyond that, you know. Yes, you know, to say, I mean, everyone would be find it amazing to do everything that Jesus did, but what about all the things that were greater than that, which are for us as his children, which involve all the administration of the kingdom in heaven as well? I mean, that's all part of it. But exciting to explore where we're going with all this. But, you know, definitely following the protocols of taking ground. You know, literally these embassies are not for diplomacy, therefore conquest. You know, the reality is we set a beachhead to then begin to take ground, but not in a natural way, but in a spiritual way, to take spiritual authority and to effectively spread the garden, you know, like it always should have done. Subdue, bring dominion, bring the blessing of the garden to more and more people and more territory. So as those cities of refuge will begin to join up and create canopies of open heavens, open everlasting doors, so that the glory of God will be manifested on the earth in greater dimension. Now, I'm sure there'll be greater pockets of darkness that will congregate as a result of areas. They'll congregate in others until we take those areas and bring light into that darkness and unveil the mysteries that are hidden for us, so that we can begin to do these things. But it's pretty amazing stuff, you know. So definitely so, yeah.
Well, I'm encouraged because as of January 1st, I was voted on an election form for the county that I am a precinct committee officer of my city, Kittitas. I have 326 people in which are in my district, and it's to affect voting and just industry and whatever prosperity that can come to the town, because they're desperately looking. So everything you have just said, all of a sudden, you know, not only in the spiritual, but I don't even know how I really got here, because I have zero political bones, zero. But yet I threw my hat in the ring, and I don't even know why. And so here I am. But you're really encouraging me to seek out what's happening in the land, because I am literally in charge of a very small strip of land right now. And wow, come on, God.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And, you know, the whole, you know, see, your heart is drawing you towards sonship. So you might say, well, I've got no political things. We're not talking about political. We're talking about judicial, and we're talking about governmental from a heavenly perspective, and that's different. And so you that is who you are. You're a son of God, and you're a co-heir. So that's who you are. It's just you will be drawn, because you've been engaging, to those things. And then actually then learning, okay, now I can begin to legislate.
Yeah.
And that's the exciting thing. When you begin to legislate and bring into effect the government of heaven. And obviously it's really important to understand what that is in every situation, because it may not be as we emotionally or would think, but we need to get clear understanding from the Spirit of the Lord. What is God's purposes? What legislation needs to be brought in to affect God's purposes in this area? And that's what the revelation will be released. Wisdom is always great to engage with for that type of stuff, because she will bring an unveiling of God's purposes so that we can rule in righteousness and justice, and to begin to effect change. You know, lasting change, you know, not just a some short-term fix, but actually looking for a generational change which will affect the whole generation to come and be preparing for it, you know. So, it's awesome stuff.
Really good. You're just bringing to mind something. There was a boy here 4 years ago, I think he was about 10 years old, absolutely disappeared. He's gone. Something's amiss, obviously. So, that just came out of the blue. I hadn't thought of that in a long time.
I mean, also once we begin to engage in these things, then God will start revealing His heart and His purposes for what we're supposed to bring His government into. And of course, we have to learn, and we're on a journey, and we're discovering, and we will get tasks to do. And when we're faithful with those tasks, then He will entrust greater tasks as we learn to engage these things. And sometimes you don't necessarily always see the immediate results, but we're not just looking for an instant thing. We're looking for a change in culture and atmosphere. And so there has to be a strategy for that. And so it's looking for God's strategy, which is a long-term strategy. It's not a short-term fix, to bring change. And ultimately, where the cities of refuge will be, they will be places where we are able to administer from and take greater ground, because we have a base that actually reflects heaven. I mean, it will be overlap. It will be complete overlap of heaven and earth. That's why it'll be so different. There'll be different power sources. There will be different food sources. You know, there's a lot going on right now in the unveiling of how the created order functions. And I think some of this comes out through this Metatron's cube thing and the different spheres of government and the different patterns that God uses geometrically to outwork His purposes and plans. You know, what's going on in this between the spiritual and the physical realms, all that stuff, you know, it's being unveiled. You know, the mysteries are being unveiled. And I think that's just why it's in a fantastic place to live, time, where these things are being unveiled to us. You know, some people get different aspects of it. You know, I know certain people right now are understanding new forms of power. And some people are understanding how water functions in a different dimension to bring change and transformation. And there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes where God is revealing, unveiling, releasing things to people whose plans and purposes for their life and their destiny is to release those things so that cities of refuge operate on a totally different dimensional order. You know? And some people are getting it. You know, I mean, I tend to sort of pick up various bits of it and see the bigger picture, but I know some people are getting aspects of that picture, and so they're getting aspects of where, you know, you look into Metatron's cube, and, you know, some people see a cube, some people see this, Star of David. Some people see different geometric shapes. Really, it's the spiritual DNA of how God does things, really, with it getting revealed and unveiled. And, you know, there are, you know, Fibonacci number sequences and geometric things which are beyond me. I mean, I'm not a mathematician, but I can see God in it. You see the fingerprints of God when you recognize those shapes and you recognize those things and you see the fractals and how they are the bigger picture and then the smaller picture is all part of the same golden mean and the operation of certain geometric things, number sequences. But there's more to it than that. Those who are much smarter than I and have the revelation of it are beginning to understand how the governmental dimensions of God relate to this one and how we can connect to it. You know? I mean, sounds all weird, doesn't it? But it's very interesting. I know Henry has certainly got hold of some of that in terms of what God's been showing him, in terms of the diagrams and the different things. We're just touching and just beginning to engage, and God is just drawing us into it. But the revelation of it is going to be unveiled. And we will use the principles that are contained there to do things in a totally different way. Yeah, and that, to me, is exciting. I find that exciting. even though I'm, you know, I don't understand it all, but I know enough to know what he's up to something. You know. And those who are willing to seek him and step into those realms will find it. You know, it's for us to bring it out of darkness and bring it into the light. And there is those mysteries, those ancient ways, because it's not new. This is how God has always done it. These are just the ancient paths and the ancient knowledge that is being released, the knowledge of sound, the knowledge of light, how these work together, you know, is being unveiled and re-released and restored back to us as God's people, undoing, you know, when it was taken and, you know, restricted. So very interesting times that we've got. Very good.
Mike, there was some discussion a while back about maybe you coming up here to the North Pacific Northwest. Is that still something you're considering?
Yeah. There's a group of people who are trying to pull it together right now. So Michael, he sort of gave an invite, Kristen down in Corvallis, and there's Mike Lindell, and then there's someone up in Seattle and someone in Vancouver. So hopefully I can come for a period of time this year and serve, really, do whatever people want, but in hopefully relationally and in different ways and have fun together and explore some things. But I'm definitely open. I know that the whole Northwest is a really significant area, and you know, I saw some maps of the North American continent, and I saw some arrows being fired with some matrices that produced a governmental structure over the thing, and it means the Northwest connecting with the Northeast, the Northeast connecting with the Southeast, you know, and so to produce an overlapping connection. And so, you know, Northwest is a significant place of where God is going to initiate some things and to establish some things. And so, yeah, I'm really up for coming. They're just trying to work out the details, really. I'll just leave that up to them, and yeah, I'll sort out when the time comes. I think they're looking at sometime in May or possibly in July. But, you know, hopefully I can come for 2 or 3 weeks and spend some time in each place, which would be great.
Yeah, it would be great. It would be awesome.
Yeah.
I know I'd be up to traveling wherever you're going to be. I mean, this is a pretty small town here, although there is a motel and there is a you know, a meeting place. But I think there's other places around that might, you know, be in a better position to be able to host you. But I'd certainly like to, if you're able to make it out this way, to kind of get over to you. I think all of us are in a pretty good proximity to be able to make it to wherever you're going to be.
Sure, yeah. I mean, yeah, I mean, I it's not done an awful lot of traveling. You know, I've always resisted it a little bit. And I can connect up with people this way. But, you know, when I did travel last year, I did notice a difference in being able to open things and engage. And I'm very willing to serve in any way I can in that, you know, to whatever God's purposes and strategy is. And that may be different in different groups, and, you know, different groups may want to engage in different ways, and, you know, I'm up for whatever I can do in terms of serving. And I can, you know, hang out with people. I mean, I like hanging out with people. So if I'm going to travel, I don't want to stay in hotels and things. I always want to hang out with people. So, you know, I'm very open just to, you know, all I need is a bed, really.
You're welcome to come to the purple, green, and orange house. I'll host you too.
Yeah. But I know God is doing some strategic legislative things this year. And, you know, and I know this is a significant year for transition, and for those that are in transition to come into these new things, it's really key that we support and encourage that. And I know it's difficult. I know people have it's a cost to go down this route that sometimes can be quite a difficult cost for people to pay. But, you know, I know God is drawing the line, and I know he's saying cross over, and he's calling people to come into this whole new order and to embrace their destiny in it. And so, I do feel stirred for this year to do everything I can to send them sound out that's going to encourage people to cross over and not stay in the wilderness. It's like, you know, I desperately don't want people to stay in the wilderness and miss their inheritance, you know. And that, if that means helping, you know, groups and churches transition and helping, because I've been there and done it, you know, I've gone through all the headaches and heartaches of trying to do this thing, establishing government, benches of three, and all those things. It's like, you know, God is looking for a reflection on earth as it is in heaven. You know, he's looking for that which looks like him, and it must be governmental, but reflected, not controlling. You know, and it's a total difference from having a reflection of heaven than having a system which some people think it looks like it should be, but it doesn't, you know, because it's the same way. I mean, I've got a diagram which reflects it. Let me see if I can bring it up. I mean, this diagram, really, it's like there are blueprints in heaven, scrolls, which when the bench of three in heaven, the Father, Son, and Spirit engage with the priestly and kingly function of when we engage there, produces a shadow on the earth, and the light shines from that realm on that blueprint, and the shadow forms on the earth, and then we have to see the reflection, which is benches of three, and that comes down to me, body, soul, and spirit, coming into and under the government of God for my own life, so I can be a reflection of what it is in heaven. That means churches, cities, regions, nations, even actually having the government, which is the foundation, which is the apostolic and prophetic, carrying the full word and full government of God on the earth, which is not a mountain. It's an inverted mountain, a reflection of a mountain, so that we're not going to set up those that sit over people trying to control people. That's the old order. We're going to have foundations that release people to fill those blueprints for their lives, for their churches, for their cities, for their nations, for God's purpose for the earth, which he has a blueprint for. And so you get the four faces of God, you get the priestly and the kingly coming into agreement, producing an ark that and that enables those manifestations. You get the apostolic and the prophetic coming together to produce foundations that release people into their destinies, because it looks like heaven, and God is going to manifest his glory in those places. You know, that's the key. You know, we are going to go from presence of God to his manifest glory, and that will be a whole different ballgame. But he's looking for that which looks like heaven to come and occupy, to come and release his glory into. So he's calling for people to move from those old models of government into new expressions that reflect the kingdom, reflect heaven on earth. You know, and there's going to be a challenge for those who don't want to let go of the old, you know. And just
I have good news, because I think it's going on 4 weeks now. I spoke to the church when Michael was in Canada, and I talked to them about the Bench of Three, and out of that has come, I think, six groups have sprung up because of that in Benches of Three, and they're igniting other people to come forward within Mountaintop to come under the Bench of Three and really not only support ourselves, but to support Michael, and it's already igniting. It's so good.
I mean, I saw some visions, really, of the earth and the atmosphere and the realms of the kingdom, and just saw how many benches on mountains of three that are just unoccupied. Because the call to that generation to cross over into their inheritance has mostly been ignored. And so God is going to issue the call to a new generation to embrace it, if those won't cross over. And there are those that have invested great things into creating their earthly mountains, and they're maybe doing great stewardship work, but God is calling people into friendship to engage in a whole different dimension. And that means being willing to leave the wilderness and cross over and operate in a totally different way, and to engage heaven to operate. And people who will not engage heaven, who have been given the call and the revelation, but have chosen not to embrace it, you know, I think God is going to start shifting. And, you know, I think we've got a period of time, specifically, because I think this is the 40th year of a particular prophetic event in 1975, in August, that it was very significant, and we are now coming to the end of that generation and the beginning of a new. And so there's a new order that we're being called to engage that is of that generation, the new generation, you know, that we're being called to embrace. And the sound has been going out for a long time, and some people have heard the sound, and they've been drawn to it, not knowing where they're going. They've just been following that sound. Their spirit's been leading them. But others have heard it and have refused to embrace it. So I do feel is we're in a very significant juncture for the old and the new, and what God is going to do with it. You know, I've shared a couple of prophetic messages the last couple of weeks where I've just released some of the things that God has been revealing to me in the last few months about this coming year, and I feel there's a real weight and significance to it. So those that start responding to those, like you're just sharing, that's the sign that people are crossing into the new and embracing it. And God will empower them, and they will be given those governmental places to then administer blueprints and to see the mountains and the seven mountains that are associated with it, the spheres of government released. And, you know, we're working at that here, you know, to see those mountains established. And I know that's going to be something that forms a pattern over the earth, really, as people respond to embrace their destiny and God in these things. So it's pretty good. So excellent. Keep preaching it. Go for it. You know, because I know it's part of my call, really, in terms of the whole Chancellor's thing, is to invest people with that sort of authority and release them into it and encourage them in it and support them and to see them enthroned in those places of government. So I sort of long for it, really. It's something that I know I've seen. It's in my heart. You know, I just want to see government raised up. And it's mostly nameless, faceless people.
Thank you.
Nothing to lose. They haven't got a reputation that they're worried about. It's not a mountain that they've built on the earth, but they will be recognized in heaven, and that is where the recognition will come. And the whole dimension of it will shift things. You know, so I'm sort of, I think, you know, we're at a very significant time this year. So, you know, I'm longing for September to come. But I know I've got a lot of stuff to do in the previous 8 months. And I've taken on a whole different legislative thing in my own engagement. You know, I'm calling forth those benches. I'm calling forth blueprints. You know, I'm really starting to assign angels and, you know, to see the governments and see the cities of refuge start to come around those blueprints. You know, and I, you know, I'm being much more proactive. You know, God's challenged me to start to legislate some of these things. So that's some of the things I've been doing. I know other people will definitely be doing the same thing. So it's exciting when you hear, you know, like you just shared, wow, people just embrace it. And then they just like, wow, there's a fire ignited. So I think that's awesome, you know. Awesome, really. So, excellent. Brilliant. I love it.
Good.
So, okay.
Well, Rick left us doggone it.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, it's great to connect with people that you know have the same heart and you know we're on the same journey and when you know we're walking together. You know, that's the wonder of where we are. You know, and you know, 12 months ago, you know, it's like I hardly knew any people. You know, and in that last 12 months, a whole host of this stuff has opened up and the relationships and the connections. And, you know, God's in it. You know, God is doing it. He's pulling us together. He's connecting us together for the purposes of his kingdom to begin to function governmentally in these things. You know, and you know, I know legislation is a key for this year. We were going to learn how to legislate more and more things in the kingdom, which is great. Mm-hmm.
You know, I saw a picture of you. You know, when you're on an airplane, they have the airplane magazines, and it shows United Airlines goes to these hubs, and it shows these red arc lines, and that's kind of what I see that you're hitting, you know, Portland, Seattle, Texas, Colorado, you know, New York, and just by you being in those hubs, and then those lines are just going to be all over the place. That's kind of what I see what's going to happen for you.
Yeah, well, I sort of went into the temple and engaged with the seraphim, and I was looking at the seraphim, and they were really intently looking at me as if I, like, well, why aren't you doing it? You know, and I'm sort of standing there, and I go there every day, and I sort of present my heart on the altar, and I'm like, okay, I've got to the point where it's, here I am, send me, you know, I'm available, whatever. send me, if it's something you want me to do, send me. And so I was looking at the seraphim, and they were just like, and I noticed like they're looking down. So I there was this big bow and arrow. So I picked it up and I'm like, well, what am I supposed to do with it? So I'm like, I look over and there's this big map, and I start firing these arrows, and there was these red cords attached to the arrows, and they began to form these sort of matrices, links. And so I saw one from the northeast, and it went down to the southwest, and I saw one on the northwest, and it went across, and I could see all these things, and then I saw some other parts of the world and other things, and I think, okay, you know, this is, I know God is beginning to do this, so it's thank you for your encouragement. It's good. Excellent. Okay. All right. Well, I've got a few more minutes. If you want anything else you want to to share? Or?
Well, I listened to your a portion of your Sunday message this morning, and I know the part. I just listened to a portion of it, but where you were talking about the incubation period, and that really resonates with me. Everything's kind of gone. Gone real dim, like in my places there. It's like somebody turned the lights off, and I think that's probably what's going on. I feel like everything's okay. It's just kind of it's kind of a little bit disconcerting because I can't. It's like the light. They turn the lights off, and nobody's there. I mean,
it kind of feels like
I've been left alone, and it kind of doesn't, huh?
In the military, they call that parade rest.
Yeah. Well, I was, you know, able to relax and just kind of rest in that this morning. But I thought that when I listened, you know, to the first part of your message, I thought I think that's probably what's going on. It's
yeah, and in a sense, it's like there are things that are hidden in that darkness, mysteries that God wants us to bring out of there into the light, and so there will be revelatory engagements, even though we may not be cognitive, that go on because. We need to bring things out of the mysteries and bring them into the light. And there are certain hidden mysteries that are getting revealed. And it's like they're going to come into fullness, you know. But I'm gonna release the last two messages, I think, and just get them out there in as many ways as I can so that people can hear it. Because the second message really needs the first one to put it into context, because some of the language people can easily misconstrue without some caveat of understanding, which I shared the first week with some of the things God shared there, so that the stuff I shared yesterday will have context. So I'm gonna get those two things released so that people can get it and see it. And I did video it yesterday, so there is a video link to it. I thought I'd test that whether I could just record myself on my own laptop just sat there. And actually, it worked okay. You know, normally, I do it with some cameras and other people record it, but I thought I didn't have time to set it all up, so okay, I'm going to try this. And it seemed to work okay. So it has the PowerPoint on it on a YouTube thing, so I'm going to try and get that out in this week. So, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been trying to listen to your messages. I'm in such a small town here and kind of isolated it. I can listen to Mike's messages on Sundays, and that's been working out really nice. I've been trying to be able to do that. Yesterday was my son's birthday. And I spent the day with him. But it's really nice that you put those up and that they're available.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, I just want to release things out really so that people can get hold of them. Yeah.
Rick finally had a chat box. We saw your chat box, Rick.
I'm not quite sure what it said.
it was just a question mark. Like,
yeah. Slash question mark.
So the answer is yes, we saw that.
Okay. Excellent.